Our World Without Wires is a wireless power podcast created to spark conversation, share stories, and educate the public on the future of wireless charging. Each podcast episode explores one key question in or adjacent to the wireless power space. Guests include wireless power industry experts, engineers, product designers, and technology leaders engaging in casual chats on compelling subjects. Our World Without Wires takes a lighthearted tone that is accessible to everyone, even while addressing highly technical topics. Join us and learn how you can live in an unwired world. Welcome to our World Without Wires. My name is Trish Thomas. I'm the Global Head of Marketing for AirFuel Alliance. We're a global coalition of companies establishing standards for wireless charging technology. And today I'm going to talk with Dr. Sanjay Gupta, our President and Chairman, about the topic, is wireless power really green? Welcome, Sanjay.
Thank you, Trish. Glad to be here.
Let's dive right in and start with a key question. Is it safe to say that wired charging is going to be more efficient than wireless charging? I mean, Sanjay, you know more about wireless power than just about anybody else I know. What do you have to say to that argument that if everybody switched to wireless charging today, it would suck electricity and have a measurable impact on the global power grid?
So great question, Trish. And I think we should first start with the understanding that a well-designed wireless power system is actually quite efficient. And depending on the power levels and the amount of energy that is being transported, a wireless power system can even be more efficient than a wired system. So it's incorrect to generalize and say a wireless power system is less efficient than a wired one.
So when do we see those issues with the wireless charging connection that, you know, are causing power issues?
Yeah. So the reason why I think a lot of consumers think that wireless power is not efficient is really due to the fact of their experiences with the first generation technology. The first generation technology, that is what you see today in most consumer electronics, requires the transmitter and the receivers to be really, really well aligned, you know, almost to millimeter level precision.
Right. And what happens, that's why you'll sit your phone on a pad and either it'll get a really low charge or you'll come back 2 hours later and it hasn't charged at all.
Exactly. Because if you don't place your phone precisely on the designated point and align the transmitter and the receiver coils, it's not very efficient. Sometimes it won't charge, and when it's not efficient, doesn't charge, all of that energy becomes heat, right? But this is really a limitation of the first generation technology that we have seen. However, if you can align those two coils, the technology is actually very efficient.
It's interesting. So how can we make sure that a phone is aligned properly on a wireless charger?
Well, the first thing to realize is human motor skills are not going to be good enough to be able to align the transmitters and the receivers without an external aid. You know, either having some dots, but imagine trying to put your phone even on a dot with millimeter level precision. I think it's going to be very challenging to do.
Definitely.
And we've seen, you know, some new phones now use magnets to achieve that precision in alignment, right? So you can actually stick the transmitter and the receiver with the magnets that ensures that you are perfectly aligned. My challenge with that is it doesn't feel like wireless charging anymore.
Right. You might as well have plugged it in or stuck it in a dock or something like that. Yeah. Interesting. So you're hinting that there's a better way to do wireless charging, that we have this first generation technology that has some user experience and efficiency issues. What do you see coming next that would solve some of these problems?
Yeah, so I think, Trish, the most important thing to realize is wireless charging technology is in its infancy. Even though the science behind wireless charging was discovered more than 100 years ago, we are only seeing the first generation technology being deployed in the market today, where you have the limitations that you need this high level of precision and can only charge one device at a time. And by the way, you know, the transmitters need to be customized to the device that you're charging and the power that they require. However, the next generation technology will allow you to work around some of the limitations of the first generation technology. There has been a lot of smart people working on wireless charging, and we now have the ability to charge multiple devices simultaneously, do away with the requirement of having to put devices precisely. So you have a lot of spatial freedom in terms of where you put your devices to charge. Imagine, if you may, a desk where all of your devices that are sitting on the desk can charge without, irrespective of where these devices are, rather than having to precisely place them in designated spots with a precision that most human beings don't have.
Sure. And I think you're describing exactly the user experience that consumers would like to see wireless power technology achieve. I want to kind of circle back to the topic for today, which is what drove that conversation about coil alignment, which is wireless power greener than wired charging? I'm sure that we can talk more in another episode about the magic that next generation technologies are going to bring, but let's talk about sustainability. You know, most households are overflowing with excess cords and old devices that collect dust. The global power cords market is actually projected to increase by 6% a year for the next decade or so. And on globalwaste.org, they're reporting a record 53.6 million metric tons of electronic waste produced worldwide last year. These figures are kind of staggering. Right now, less than 18% of that waste is recycled. It's a really sad situation. How can wireless charging help with some of these other sustainability challenges?
So Trish, great observation, right? You know, today's charging infrastructure is actually encouraging waste, right? I was on a trip last week. I forgot my charger at home. Guess what did I do? I bought another one. Right? I buy another one. And I look at all of my charging accessories, cables, and bricks as just disposables at the end. We all buy a new phone, you get a new cable or a new charger. Maybe some phones don't come with it anymore, right? And by the way, most of these cables and charging bricks are unique to the devices that I have. And we all end up buying more cords and more chargers than we actually really need.
It's true. There's not a lot of interchangeability, and you do, I mean, you can't not have a cord. So if you lose it, you have to find that identical cord, rebuy it.
Yeah. And I actually believe, and I really strongly believe that wireless power is the answer to all of this. Because what wireless power allows me to do is avoid having the need to carry all these bricks and cables, right? You know, there's more weight in charging bricks and cables in my bag than my computing resources that I have. Right. And if I can be sure that wherever I travel or wherever I'm at my home or my office, I have a wireless charging infrastructure deployed, I don't have to buy all of these disposable wired charging devices, right? And I think that that's really the key thing that wireless allows us to do, is take something that is disposable and ends up in my drawer and make it into an infrastructure that can be used and reused and reused for, you know, 5 years, 10 years, even 20 years, right? Most charging cords and bricks, they last maybe less than 2 years, actually. Every time I get a new phone, I have to go buy a new charger, a new cord, a new everything to go along with it. That's what everybody's incentivized to sell.
People want a cord at their desk. People want a cord in the kitchen. People put a separate cord to charge in their car. Pets chew them. Our cords break. You know, it goes on and on. And so I love hearing that wireless power is an answer to this. So I guess one thing I'm taking away is that even though wireless power, when you're actually charging, might not have perfect alignment, might not have perfect efficiency in the current scenario, it might be more efficient because of some of these other add-on benefits.
Yeah. And, you know, and this is a topic that I actually am approached often, and people, you know, criticize wireless power for encouraging, as you said, inefficiency in the system. And once I started to peel the onion here, I realized something very profound, which is the amount of energy required to produce a charger, right? Doesn't matter whether it's wired or wireless, it really doesn't matter, is actually more than the amount of energy that flows through that charger in a year. Wow. So just think about it for a second. There's more energy that goes into producing the charger than it actually flows through it. So means if you're going to try and optimize the amount of power that flows through it by a few percentage points, you're actually working the wrong problem. What you really have to do is to see how you can make either fewer chargers and cords or make them more efficiently, right? Yeah. Let's solve the right problem here.
Yeah, this is hard to believe. I want to understand this a little bit more. That really is kind of staggering to get your head around, that all the energy that goes into the production of a charger is more than is going to flow through it in a year. And we know that these items have very short life cycles. Like you said, they're largely disposable to a lot of people. So you'd save much more money by taking the charger out of the buying equation to begin with than worrying about a few percentage points of efficiency and whether it was a wired or a wireless charge.
Exactly. And to get to the source of this, it's all about the semiconductors, right? You know, we all know the semiconductor chips are everywhere. That's what has made this entire consumer electronics possible, right? Every device that we have is full of these semiconductor chips. But we all also have to realize that chip making is actually a hugely resource-intensive process. And when I'm talking about resources, I'm not just talking about the energy, but also the amount of water that is needed. All of the nasty chemicals that are needed to actually produce these chips. And here is a staggering number, which kind of opened my eyes, right? You know, by 2030, which is not that far away, 20% of our total energy demand is going to come from this computing industry. Right, the information computing technology, and has with the hardware, actually the hardware taking most of that. It's not that even about the operating cost of the system or the energy that I burn in operating these electronics. It's really about producing these electronics. Some really smart folks at Harvard figured this out.
Yeah, that global energy footprint of these devices is massive.
Exactly. And that's what we really have to understand. You know, even though we all, as part of this industry, talk about sustainability and being green, what we really don't talk about is all of these devices that we need. They are the ones consuming the lion's share of the total energy consumption and the resource consumption that we have. Operating these is actually not the biggest issue.
Right. So getting back to the charger, which, you know, that's a really interesting part of this conversation, but a charger is more than a few chips. You kind of touched on it a minute or two ago. What about all the wires, the plastics, the waste, you know, that may not be recycled that goes into creation of these consumer products?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. You know, we have, and when I'm talking about the energy required, you know, each electronic device, even a charger, has more than a few chips in it. If you open it up, you'll see it has lots of chips, right? And when I'm talking about the energy required to produce a charger, I'm even just talking about the energy required to produce a few chips in these chargers. That is more than the amount of energy that is flowing through it. If you take into account the full picture, right? There is all of these other PCBs, other inductors, discrete parts, plastics, all of these other things, and copper and so on. The cost of a charger is actually way more than the cost of electricity. So we should really be focusing on how we are going to make something that we all treat as disposable into something that becomes an infrastructure. Every time I buy a new phone, I buy a new laptop, I don't have to get all of the other stuff. And the way to do this is by deploying and making wireless charging an infrastructure so that you have that infrastructure, you buy it once, it's deployed, and now it's going to last you 5x or 10x the amount of time as current charging, disposable charging appliances at the end. That's really what we have to do as an industry.
I really like the sound of that. And I love that pivot in your mind from a consumer disposable, essentially kind of a one-off piece that everybody's buying, breaking, losing, disposing of every day, to infrastructure, which has much more permanency, much more stability and strength and is made to stand the test of time. I see what you mean. You know, you have, you know, something, your desk wirelessly charges things and you own that desk for a decade and you, everything you lay on it charges, and it's kind of part of the woodwork. You know, go to an airport, you go into a train station, everything's charging. You don't have to think about it. There's nothing to buy. That would really, think of the cords that would eliminate.
Exactly. But I think what is essential for us to get to that is we need these new next generation wireless power technologies, which, by the way, are real. This is not something that is a few years away. This is something that is available here and today.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like, you know, just kind of summing up what we're talking about before we sort of move on to materials, but you know, you think about the added cost also of replacing phones because of a failed charging port due to wear and tear. You think about the emissions that go into manufacturing. It really does just kind of compound the need to get us off of this addiction to cords. So talking about materials, you know, share with me about the impact of things like packaging. You know, electronics are notorious for using hard to source materials, for instance, like rare earths, often at the expense of the natural environment, mining in the developing world, for instance. Packaging can be a big piece of the actual impact of an electronic device. I would love to hear a little bit about some of the eco-friendly initiatives that can, you know, help reduce the impact of the wireless charging industry. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah. So actually, I think there are a couple of things that are really important, right? You know, we all are moving to an economy where everything is moving, running on batteries, including our mobility vehicles. You know, we're all so excited about electric cars and electric buses and even electric airplanes now. Guess what they all need? They all need batteries, right? The size, actually, it's very interesting. The thickness of my phone is largely dictated by the size of the battery I have in there, right? And we all know these modern batteries have an ugly side to them. They all have these toxic chemicals, hard to mine chemicals. I'm not going to get into all of those details, but we know there is a lot to be improved there. What if we could start to now make devices with either smaller batteries or maybe even no batteries at all? Right. I think that's really what wireless power is going to allow us to do. Let's think about it. We are all so excited about IoT. We have IoT sensors everywhere. My house is filled of, probably 100 different IoT sensors of all different kinds.
Right. Sure.
What if I could make all of them without any batteries and I could deliver power to them wirelessly? Right? We have the technology, air fuel RF, wireless power, that can actually do it. It can deliver small amounts of power to my temperature sensor and all of my IoT sensors, for example, or Bluetooth location beacons wirelessly, so that they don't have batteries in them. Think about how beautiful that would be. These devices could last as long as the electronics would last and not have to worry about having to deal with the operational costs involved with a human being running around to replace batteries and these batteries ending up in a landfill at the end.
Right. I was just thinking about that. I think a piece of the formula that we don't think about is the actual labor costs that, you know, switching out batteries or maintaining all of these devices, that it really, really adds up. And again, as part of that unsustainable piece of wired charging, whether it's, you know, through a cord or whether you're having to maintain a charge in a battery that then has to be plugged in and recharged. So I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, exactly, Trisha. Think about it, right? You know, when you have wireless charging available everywhere, you have less of a desire to have a big bulky battery in everything. Right? Because you know you can charge them when you charge your devices when you need them. There's
you
no
have the
need for
battery because you might be out on the street, you know, and in your city or out at work in meetings, and you've got to run for 8 hours. And so you need this big battery.
Exactly.
That's really true.
And wireless power allows you to at the end have smaller batteries, fewer of these chemicals and minerals mined and so on. And you, in the end, creating a more sustainable
Sure.
environment for everybody.
Well, and I heard an interesting statistic about these, or numbers, I guess, about these industrial grade sensors, that the sensors themselves are pretty cheap. They might cost maybe $50 on average, but the wiring to keep them powered, or, you know, having to add a big battery onto them, can exceed $1,000 per sensor. So if you have this continuous wireless charging capability around them and you can eliminate that cost and also the labor that goes with maintenance of it, the impact is really pretty profound, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, if you had to deploy wires and as you said, you have these wire harnesses running around, imagine how much more challenging it will be to change their location, or if the new factory configuration shows up and you have to move these wires around, it's a very disruptive process. If Absolutely. You have wireless charging, all of that waste is gone away. All the labor associated with having to move these sensors around is actually zero. You can just put them wherever you want to and things are working.
Right. No, we've given listeners a lot to think about today. There were a lot of angles to this question that seemed pretty straightforward. Is wireless power really green? And we kind of started with the whole efficiency of the actual charging process. But you start to think about materials, emissions, water use, labor use, landfill waste. It really does just compound to make wireless charging make a whole lot of sense. It's really impressive. And so I guess it's good news that the global wireless charging market is expected to surpass $40 billion annually by 2027. That's a big escalation in the growth trajectory of this industry. What else would you like to just share before we sign off?
No, Trish, I think you did a wonderful job of summarizing. Right. I think for most people, before we all get so worked up about maybe what we hear in the media sometimes, that wireless power is not efficient, we all have to realize the operational costs are dwarfed by the cost of producing all of the electronics today. And if we really want to be green, we need to focus on producing fewer of these devices. And the way to produce fewer of these devices is to make sure these devices are not disposable, but they're part of the infrastructure that we all depend on. I think that's the way to a really green future for all of us.
I would agree. And when you think about medical devices, industrial applications, electric vehicles, Internet of Things devices and sensors, there are so many applications where wireless charging makes a lot of operational sense. It's great to hear that it also has a true green sustainability play in terms of saving time, money, materials, and waste. I hope that this has been an eye-opening discussion on the question, is wireless power really green? I'd encourage you to listen to our next podcast topic with Sanjay and Kai Seeley from Wytricity as they explore another juicy subject, is wireless power safe? Thanks so much for listening to Our World Without Wires, and we'll catch you on the next episode.